the life of believers is that when someone asks you, how are you doing today? You say, I'm blessed. Okay? You're blessed. You don't have to put anything else to it. Just let them know that you're blessed, and that becomes your testimony. Amen? Amen. How were you this morning?
Blessed.
Doesn't that sound good? Well, it sounds good to me if it doesn't to you. It is good to be here with you this morning and to have a time to worship with you. And I just thank your pastor, Cummings, and your leadership for inviting me to come back. I've been here a number of times, and you haven't met my wife, and I just want you to have a chance to meet my wife. She's been with me for a great number of years. We won't even put the number on it. She is a counselor. She counsels men, she counsels women, she counsels children, normally individuals that have gone through some type of trauma. And so she practices in Philadelphia and in Jenkintown, and then every so often she goes up to Princeton and practices. So if you can say something if you want, but just stand so that they can see who you are. Okay. We met in college, and it has been a journey, put it in that term now. It's been a journey over the past years. And I also have with me my two grandsons. They don't have to stand. They don't even have to get up. You know, you will, if you're in this sanctuary for more than 20 minutes, you'll know who they are. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you again, fresh and anew, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege this morning to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and to come before you with praise. We ask now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take charge of this worship service, that you might have your way, that what you would have to be said would be said in a manner that you are pleased with. We ask, Lord, that these your children would open their ears, that they would open their minds to your word, Lord, that it may sink deeply in their hearts, Lord, that they may become children that are more living a life that is more acceptable to you. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us this privilege that we can come before you in worship. We think not anything small of it, because it is a big thing that we can come before the God of creation and share time with him. So, Lord, we ask right now that your Holy Spirit that will take control, that you and you alone will be glorified. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. This morning, I would hope that you would really give me a listening ear, because I want to talk with you about something that seems to affect all of us at different levels, and is something that affects how we even live on a day-to-day basis. As Christians, the one thing that we deal with quite often is this thing called stress. Stress that comes from different situations that we have in life. And what God has done in our relationship with him has given us the best way to handle stress. You will never live in this life in America and be stress-free. But God has given us a way that we can handle the stress that we deal with in this life and handle it in a manner that it does not take control of us, but that he, by his word, we can handle every situation that comes down the pike. Now, one of the things that is good for us to understand is that we need to have a pattern to our lives if we're going to be able to deal with stress, if we're going to be able to deal with a lot of things in life. A lot of us, we have patterns, and our patterns are negative patterns. In essence, when something happens in our life, bam, we respond in a negative manner. when something is doesn't go the way we want it to go, bang, we respond in a negative manner. And what God says to us is that there's nothing that comes into our lives that he doesn't know about. He knew about it before it happened. And what he wants us to know that is that if we are walking in his will, he prepares us for those things that will come in our lives so that we can handle them in a manner that is stress-free or low stress. The thing that happens is we sometimes have things that happen in our lives and we don't look to him. We don't understand that this is part of his process of developing us to be the person that he would have us to be. And because of that, we need to make sure that we are handling things as he would have us to handle them. One of the things we understand is that God has given all of us a vision. All of us have visions for our lives. We have a plan. We have a purpose that God has given us. And as Christians, we have the responsibility, the first line responsibility, to make sure that we are walking as God would have us to walk in the vision that he's given us. Because as we walk in that vision, then God shows us his purpose and the understanding that when we walk outside of God's purpose, that is when we have a lot of stress in our lives. And one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at one of the individuals in the Bible that had a pattern for his life, and he lived from the time that he met the Lord until the time the Lord called him home, which was far more than even 102 years. He lived much longer than that, and he, by faith, trusted God for every day of his life. We're going to be talking about Abraham and how he was able to become a man that believed God. No matter what God told him, he believed it. Now, let's look at your life. Is it that as you sit here right now this morning, is everything that you understand about God, do you believe? That is the first point that you need to be able to understand. Whether you believe what you read in the Bible, whether you believe what you hear about the God's word, whether you believe it or you look at it from a point of an intellectual process and you don't believe it within your heart. Because that determines how much stress you're going to have in your life. Let's walk with this so you can get a better understanding. If you turn over in your Bibles in the book of Romans to the fourth chapter, and when you get to the fourth chapter, I want you to look at verse number 20. Romans, the fourth chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 20, and then we're going to look at a number of other verses that I need for you to follow along with, but this is where we're going to start. Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 20. And we're talking about Abraham here and his life of faith. And Paul is emphasizing some things that were going on in Abraham's life that allowed him to live the way he lived. And so when we start at verse 20, he says, "And he did not waver at any promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened by in faith, giving glory to God." Let's start with something fundamental, and then we're going to work into it. When we look in the book of John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse, Jesus makes a statement to us. He says very clearly and very precisely, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." So what he's stating right now is that there are three things you need to understand in your relationship with him. First, you need to understand that he is the way. That if you want to know what kind of life that you're supposed to lead, then you need to know that you are to follow the example that he has given and become a disciple, knowing that what he tells you to do is the way you are to go. And then he comes back and he makes it very clear to you that he is the truth, that everything that you know about him, everything that he has said, everything that he has done has come from the Father, and because of his relationship with the Father, he can only speak truth. And because of his truth, then you need to understand that anything that he has promised you that the Father will do because of your submission, because of your faith in God, that it was going to happen. Then he comes back and he says for the third point, and it's important that you understand these three points because they are the points that allow Abraham to accomplish what he was able to accomplish. And that third point, he comes back and he says, I am the life. In essence, if you live your life according to my standards, if you live your life according to what I have called you to do, then you are going to be blessed. Everything that I have promised you, those blessings, those supernatural blessings, my grace, my mercy, all that I have promised you that I would bring into your life, that if you live by faith in me, those things will become part of your life. Those things will be able to give you that stress-free life or limited stress in your life and will allow you to have the power to accomplish that what I have called you to do. So he wants us to understand that there is a basis that you have to work from in your relationship with him, that you have to understand that he is the way. You know, if you were to go out here on the street now and you say, I'm going to go around to Geno's and get a steak, you know, there's a way that you go to get to Geno's. Amen? Okay, and when he says that he is the truth, then you have to believe, because when you understand what truth is, even in fundamental terms, as you say, a truth is not a lie. A truth is plain, is clear, and it's what I'm supposed to believe. You know, when you go into a courtroom, what they do is they tell you to put your hand on a Bible. They don't tell you to put your hand on a dictionary. They don't tell you to put your hand on on the Constitution. They tell you to put your hands on the Bible. And you do one thing before you sit down. You swear to tell the truth. Okay? And then when we look at the point from the point of our lives, we know that there is something that is supposed to give us direction for our lives that would be in line with God's word. And we know that as we live in this world that we live in, that this world changes every... Sometimes it changes. They say it changes every 8 years, but now it seems like it's changing every other year, that the values change and things that were values are no longer values because society has changed their opinion on things. Let me come back with you with one thing. In this country, 3.5% of everyone that lives in this country profess to be in a homosexual relationship. It's 2.5%. It's not even 3% of this country that are following that lifestyle. However, in our society today, because we're changing again, that becomes a great big issue. That they want all of the rights and all of the privileges everybody else has, and they don't even make up 3% of the public. So we need to understand that there's always a change. When you're going back into the 80s, it was about me and what I could get. When you're looking in the 70s, it would be about being part of the yuppie, part of the individuals that had money. So we need to understand that we can get caught up into the world's way of doing things, or we can do things as God would have us to do them, and that comes out of understanding that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Then when we look in the book of Romans in the 21st chapter, God comes back to says that my purpose for calling you unto me is for you to have a glorious life. That you would have a life that is well-pleasing to me and is well-pleasing to you. But that comes out of our relationship with him, and that comes out of the grace that he brings into our lives as we trust him. Now, there are two things that become part of this whole walk with Jesus. One is the point that he becomes that we are redeemed under him. In essence, Jesus came that we might be redeemed and brought into a relationship with the Father. And in that process, we are made righteous, just as though we have not sinned, to break it down to some of you, but the bottom line is we become righteous. Now, when we look into the life of Abraham, Abraham believed God. He believed God, and that was ushered into his relationship with God as being righteous. Abraham believed God for whatever God said. Now, one of the things that did happen in Abraham's walk with God, God continually to bless him as he submitted and as he did what God would have him to do. And I want you to understand that in the life of Abraham, he did some miraculous things. Now, let's back up and just talk about Abraham for a second. Abraham was a heathen. He came from a country that they had many gods. But as God the Father spoke to him, he came to understand that he was talking with, he was communicating with the one and the only God. In your walk with the Lord, do you take time to spend with God so that you understand from your interaction with him, from your fellowship with God, that he is the one and the only God? Do you pray to him and he meets your prayer request because you are praying in his will? You're not just praying helter-skelter or praying for what you want, for what your desires are, but that you are praying to him, seeking his will for your life, and you're asking him for those things that he wants to bless you with. See, a lot of us, we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but the only time we come before the Lord is when we need something. No, the only time we even get down on our knees, or the time we stop and pray during the day, or the time we stop and pray. Some of us sitting here right now probably ate all week and never said, thank God for the food that we ate. Because we don't look at him as having that full relationship with him, which part of that relationship is understanding that every time we eat a meal, every time we touch food, every time we drink a drink, we have it because of the grace of God, because of his mercy on our lives, and because of the relationship we now have with him through his son. So we need to come to understand that we are not just individuals floating through the world doing what we want to do, but that we have to have our call as Christians is to have a relationship with Christ. And in that relationship with Christ, he takes us to where he wants us to be. And that his vision for us, his purpose, his plan for us is all tied into that process. Now, what I want you to understand is that as we look at Romans 4:20, that we need to understand that this pattern of life that God has called us to is a radical practice of life. It's a radical pattern for living. You know, when you look at a pattern, and some of you probably do some sewing or have worked with patterns. As an engineer, we had to work with patterns when we were working on turbines that were part of a power plant. And one of the things you dealt with is that that pattern was put into a lathe for a lathe to do some cutting, and it had to cut it precisely. So God is saying that as we walk through this life in faith, he's looking for us to be precise in doing that which he has called us to do, not living partially for him, partially for the world, but that we are walking in preciseness to what he would have us to do, which calls us to have to come and to get into his word, to study his word, so that we would understand what he has called us to do and that we would be doing it on a precise basis. Now, this issue of having a pattern of faith, you know, affects our dreams and our realities. Because in this pattern of faith, a pattern of faith conditions you to win. It conditions you to live a life where you're going to be a winner because of Jesus Christ. It also gives you clarity on what you're supposed to do when you're walking in faith with God. It also helps you to walk in favor of God. You know, God blesses you with his favor because of your clarity of walking in his word, because of the fact that you have committed yourself to live a life that is pleasing to him. Now, one of the things that takes place in this whole process of living by faith is being transformed. One of the things that happened in Abraham's life that helped transform him was that God told him at his old age he was going to have a child. Now, when you read that, and you need to go back and read this, Abraham was told he went and told his wife. His wife laughed. She thought, got a big chuckle out of this at her age that she was going to have a child. But you know what Abraham did? He went to work. I'm not going to get very explicit because the adults in here know what I mean by he went to work, because he believed what God has said. And out of that, his son was born. So God, because of his faith walk, because he left his homeland, because he left everything that he had come to know in order to walk with God, God blessed him with his child. Now, the bottom line is, it doesn't have to be that God is going to bless you with a child in your old age, but that's what it's supposed to say to you, is that those things that man says are not impossible, God will do in your life as you walk with him and as you trust him for your life. You see, the whole process is, sometimes we can trust God for the small things of life, but when it comes to the bigger things in life, we try to do it in ourselves, or we just figure it's never going to happen. But God wants you to know that if he can take a man that is far, far past the time of having children, and take a wife that is far, far past the time of having children, and he can bring them together and he can create life, then what is it in your life that you're looking for, that you're trusting him for, that he can't do? All he's looking for is a person that is willing to walk by faith, to trust him. And if you are able to do that, then he's going to do the supernatural. He's going to do the things in your life that you've been saying for years, it ain't never going to happen. I've been in this house all my life. I've been looking at houses and I want to move, but it's never going to happen. All God is saying to you is that I want you to trust me. Trust me with your coming in. Trust me with your going out. Trust me with your life on a day-to-day basis, and I will give you the desires of your heart. I will give you those things that I want you to have, because you are walking, because you are trusting me for every area of your life. So God is saying to us that there is a pattern that we need to come in line with, and that pattern is that there is not an area of our lives that we have not given to God and that we're not trusting him for. That area in your life that you're hiding, that you're holding on to yourself, can be the area that's going to stop you from receiving all the riches that God would have for you, because you're not totally trusting him in that area. What God also does, and this is important for you to understand, that God, as you walk with him in faith, God removes the fears from your life. God steps in and he shows you who he is, and when he shows you who he is, it removes the fears from your life, and it brings in, or ushers in, power. Because fear and power cannot exist in the same place. Fear and faith cannot exist in the same house. So that as you trust God, God comes in and he removes the fear from your life. Sometimes our fears are illogical. They don't make sense. We all caught up in something. We're not able to move ahead. Let me give you an example. And I'm going a little fast, so I got to slow myself down. One of the things you need to understand, we go back and we look at in the life of David, Saul. Saul was the king called by God. God blessed him, although God was not totally in favor of his people having a king. Now, let's go to the point of something that you deal with right now, everyone in this room. Saul and the army of Israel came on a fight, and the champion of that fight was a big guy named Goliath. Now, Goliath stood out on the battlefield and said, "Send your best. Send your best, because I'm going to kill everybody you got. There's nobody you got that can come up against me." Some of us are living right now today with an issue in our lives that we believe is too big for God to handle. There is something going on in our lives right now. And some of us, sometimes you need to just think about it. That there, you know, what's going on in your life that you think is too big for God to handle? I'll give you a moment. That's your Goliath. That's what's keeping you from being living that life of faith. That's what's keeping you from accomplishing all that God wants to accomplish in your life. That's your Goliath. And what you need to do is to remember first, as David did, what God has done in your life before you face that Goliath. The situation that he has allowed you to overcome, the situation that he has allowed you to kill. David came back and he said, well, you know, God, this God that I serve has allowed me to kill lions. He's allowed me to kill bears. And so just based on what he has already done in my life, I know what he can do even in this situation. And that's the attitude that we need to take in our faith walk. It has to become a pattern that as we come into contact with situations, as we find ourselves in situations that seem to be overwhelming to us, when we come in a situation where we don't know whether we're going to the left or to the right, whether we're going to fall back or whether God is going to take us forward, we need to be able to stand in faith and say, I can remember what God has done over the past 5-6 years of my life, the situations I've had that have been difficult situations, and he has walked me through it, and I've come out a winner on the both other side. Because God is saying that once he steps into your life, you get power that you've never had before to accomplish the things that I will bring into your life to change you. Every time you have a giant come into your life, that means there's something in your life that God wants to transform. There's something he wants to change, and the change has to come from you, and then also he wants you to come to understand him better. There is not a situation that come in your life where God has brought a giant into your life in order to cause pain, to cause heartache, but it's there in order for you to grow in your relationship with God. Let me give you an example as we go back and look at Abraham. Abraham had his son Isaac. And God came to him and said, you know what? I want you to take your son and I want you to have him up on a mountaintop. I want you to use him as a sacrifice. Now, for those of you who don't understand sacrifice, Abraham heard from God that he wanted him to take his son up and to sacrifice him unto the Lord. And the story goes that they went up on the mountaintop and he told his servants to wait and he took Isaac up. And all the time they're going up to where he was going to sacrifice him, you know, Isaac is quizzing him, you know, what are we going to sacrifice? Where is it? But Isaac was a dutiful son. And this is where this pattern comes in. Isaac did not question his father when his father told him to lay down. He trusted his father. In our relationship with God, we have to understand that our mind is the size of a pea, and God's mind is bigger than this whole world. And if he tells us to do something, he does not have to sit down and break it down to us. One of the things I find, you know, that I deal with now as we're raising kids is that we can tell our kids to do something and then they want to know why, how come, and all those other questions. You know, my father used to say to me, because I said so. And that was where it ended. But we get, why do you want me to do that? How come I got to do that? Can somebody else do it? You know, can I do it later on? What about tomorrow? And we sit and we entertain every one of those questions. There are certain things that God is going to tell us to do that he's not going to tell us why he's telling us to do it. He's telling us for our own good, which we need to understand, and that it's going to work out to our benefit if we do what he says. And sometimes with our kids, we need to be able to just tell them, because I said to do it, because I am in control here, and it's going to work out to your own good, but I don't have to explain to you that process. So after Isaac is laying there, and Abraham raises his knife to kill him, God steps in. And there was a ram in the bush over there for him to sacrifice and not Isaac. Now, what was this whole process about? It was for Abraham to show his faith in God. That's what God wants us to see that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for his relationship with God. That gives you something to think about. Now, let me give you one more, and then we're going to move on. In the book of Job, in the first chapter, it is recorded that Satan went to heaven. Just want you to understand, this, when I read this for the first time, this was the first time I knew that Satan had an entree into heaven with God. And God said to Satan, what have you been doing? And Satan just said, where God sent him. You sent me down to earth, so I was down, I've been down there raising hell. And one of the things you need to come to understand, this next statement, because it affects all of our lives. God said, have you considered my servant Job? In essence, what God was saying is that I love Job. I created Job. I have a purpose for Job's life. I have a plan for Job's life. But I believe that whatever the devil you may throw at him, he's going to be able to deal with it. Where are you in this process? Is it that no matter what the adversary may throw at you, you're going to serve God? This is what we come down to, the road and the tire meeting the road of faith, is that when God says, you know, have you considered my servant, and put your name there, are you at the point in your relationship and your walk with God of faith that your pattern shows that no matter what the adversary does, you're going to serve God? That's what we have to look at in our walk with God, that we are where he wants us to be and that we are going to serve him no matter what. Now, the story goes on that Job's servant came to him and said, it was this storm and it wiped out all your kids. Some of us would stop serving God and serving anybody else if that happened. But Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That has to be our relationship, that we are not caught up in any tangible thing on life, not whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's clothing or whatever it is, but that we are in the point in our lives where we trust God, and anything he gives us and takes it back, we still praise him, we still give him honor because of who he is. So we need to understand that that is part of our walk with him, and that because we are not tied into him, because that pattern is not where we want it to be, that there's a gap, G-A-P, in our relationship with God. And because of that gap, we are not serving God where we're supposed to be serving him. We're not serving him on our jobs. We're not serving him in our communities. We're not serving him in our homes. Because those things that are in the world that we let into our home that changes the flow and the godliness of our home stands there to say that we are not giving God all the glory that he is looking for in our lives. That we need to come to discover what God is really calling us to do as Christians in this faith walk. Because our faith walk is in our marriages. Our faith walk is in our home. That when you look into your home life, you can say that whatever goes on in this house is bringing glory to the name of God. You know, in our walk with our relationship, some of us have all kinds of music flowing around through our home that is not pleasing to God. So there is conversation that goes on in our homes that are not pleasing to God. And yet we are looking for God to bless us. We allow things to come into our home that should not be coming into our home, but we have our own human reasons for it. I can tell you this thing that goes on is that I have two brothers. And both of my brothers love to drink beer. But they know when they come to my house, they can't bring beer into my house because that's not the standard of my home. So that one of my brothers, he would actually get his six-pack, put it in a bag, and put it out on my porch. Okay, and after we've eaten, you know, especially at Thanksgiving, then he would put his coat on and he would go outside and stand in the cold and he would drink his beer. But he knew he cannot bring it into my house because that is the standard of my home. And some of us, we don't have godly standards in our home, yet we're looking for God to bless us. Our children are not being raised with godly standards, yet we want our children to grow up in the Lord. Because one thing you need to understand, children believe more what they see than what they hear from you. It used to be that thing you say, you know, do what I say, not what you, that's, and leave it at that point. But children today are much smarter than that. And if your life does not show forth what you do on Sunday, then far as they're concerned, Sunday is just a time for me to come to church and have some fun, because when I go back home, we're going to go back to living the way we've been living. So we need to understand that in our relationships with our children, that we need to be living that example, and that comes out of our faith walk. Secondly, in our marriages, we need to understand that our marriages have to be part of our faith walk, has to be part of that pattern that we are living unto the Lord in our relationships, in our conversation with each other, how we interact with each other in the relationship, and even in our fellowship time, that we are living unto the Lord. Because if we're living unto the Lord, then God is going to add increase to our lives. He's going to add increase to your home. He's going to add increase to those things that you do, because he is well-pleased and he's happy. He brings into your life energy so that you are able to increase in everything that you do. Then as you trust him, you know, then you will see his plans for your life come to fruition. You will start to see your life change. You will start to see those things that you've been looking for to happen in your life happen. Now, what happens, what are the effects of not living for God? When we choose that we're not going to live for God totally, then there's some effects that happen in our faith. You know, one of the things that happens is our attitude. We don't have the right attitude when we're not walking with God. You know, Abraham met God every day. The first thing he did in the morning was he would spend time with God praying. He would spend time allowing God to talk to him, because he wanted God to give direction for his life that day. He did not want to be in control. He did not want things to happen that he wanted to happen, but he wanted to make sure every day that everything that he did that day was being led and being directed by the Lord. So that means you have to spend time with God. You just cannot be caught up in what it means to me. Because what God wants us to understand is that as we allow him to lead, then there's certain things that we will see happening in our lives. We will start to mature. And when you look into Romans, the 8th chapter, it says that as we walk in this pattern of faith, that we will start to mature. It says also that we will have less stress in our lives. It says that when doubt comes, when discouragement comes, we will know that that is just part of a life process, and it does not affect our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, he's saying that as we walk in this path, we have a different behavior, a different level of conduct, that, you know, that the words that come out of our mouths are pleasing to the Lord. You know, one of the things that I was in a car with some guys, and we were going out to Harrisburg to a conference, and this guy came a little too far over, you know, from his lane, and I'm not going to tell you what the man of God said when he thought the guy was going to hit him. And basically what we need to understand is that God hears every word that comes out of our mouths. You know, so don't you ever think that because you're in your house, God is not listening. Because you're in your car, God is not listening. No matter where you are, God is listening. And this is all part of that faith pattern that you're developing, that pattern that said, when somebody sees your pattern, they can say, this is the person. And not that they're living one way here, living another way over there, and living a second way when they come to church. But God understands that we have patterns, and what he wants to do is break our negative patterns and establish a positive pattern for us to follow. You know, the principles that God places before us, we need to understand that God says, first of all, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And then he says to us, to make things a little clearer, when we look into James, the first chapter, verses 23 and 20-25, is that the Bible is a spiritual mirror. And it shows us what we need to change. So as we look into God's word, it becomes a mirror for us to see ourselves and to see those things in our lives that God wants us to change. And the first thing God wants to us to change is that we become not just creatures of this world, but we become individuals that are in a faith walk with him. And because of our faith walk, which is a gift from him, he is blessing us. He is taking us where he wants us to go. Not where we want to go, but he's taking us where he wants, where he wants to take us. Because that is important, that you are being led by the word of God and that he's leading you in the way that he wants you to go. Now, I want you to understand, I've heard many terminologies for what faith is. But bottom line, faith is that you have put full confidence in the Lord. Total confidence for your life in the Lord. Just that very simple. I don't want you to get caught up in long paragraphs, but that you have put total confidence in your walk with the Lord. Now, as you put total confidence in him, there are certain things that he requires of you that you need to understand what those things are, and that there's always a basis for what he does. And the basis first starts with the point of your salvation. So as you are saved, then bottom line is there are requirements on how you're supposed to live if you want to receive God's full blessing. So you need to understand that. Now, one of the things that happens is God becomes a chiropractor in your life. How many of you know what a chiropractor is? Okay. He becomes a chiropractor in your life. And what he does is he goes through your life realigning you to becoming the person that he wants you to be. In essence, you know, sometime your neck needs to be straightened. You may have seen it in movies if you've never seen it done, where the guy grabs you around your head and he pulls on your neck to re-straighten it. And sometime in our lives, God steps in and he's that chiropractor that straightens out our way of thinking. You know, and then the other times you've seen where you know, there's something wrong with your leg and they pull it out and then they kick it over for you to walk straight. And when they do that, you know, then you can walk straight. And what God sometimes does is he has to act as a chiropractor to straighten out the way we walk. You know, and then sometime, you know, it can be down to your finger that your finger is kind of out of shape. And what he does is he flips it and he pulls it and he pulls it and he flips it. And then your fingers are straight again. And it's that process that sometime what we put in our hand shouldn't be in our hand. So God has to take us through a chiropractic realignment of our lives spiritually in order that we are walking with him and accomplishing those things that he would have us accomplish. Now, what am I saying to you? Because I could probably preach for another 2.5 hours. But what am I saying to you? I'm saying that God has called us to live a radical lifestyle. That radical lifestyle is the same lifestyle that Abraham lived, where Abraham believed and trust God no matter what the standard was for his people, no matter what the standard was for as he was nomadic and as he was moving around. He did not take on the status or the issues or the standards of life of those people that he came in contact with, but he lived a life that kept him separate in his relationship with the Lord from those he interacted with. And God has called us to that same way of living, that we have come up with a pattern of living that is separate from those that we interact with, that gives him glory, that honors him. And basically, as we honor him, then he does those things in our lives that he would have us to do. There is nothing conventional to being a Christian. Being a Christian is living a radical lifestyle. If you're a Christian, the first thing you need to understand is that you are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priest because of your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, one of the things that you need to grab onto and hug like this is that because of your relationship with God, you are forgiven. No matter what goes on in your life, you just need to come before the Lord and ask him to forgive you, and he forgives you. You know, that you are filled with God's Spirit, that you are loved by God, that you have received his mercy, that you're walking in his grace, and that he has already said that he is sufficient for anything that you need in this life. And that all comes out of your faith walk, that you are walking with him. You need to also understand that spiritual maturity is a journey. You're not going to go from first grade to 12th grade in 1 week. That God is saying to you that this walk with me is a journey. You're going to start walking at the time of your salvation, and you don't get yourself to where you're supposed to be until he calls you home. You will never be where God wants you to be until he calls you home. So that whole walk is you growing in him, you demonstrating your growth in him, you demonstrating your trust in him, that he may come into your life and bless you supernaturally. So, you know, you need to understand that this walk is a radical walk. It's not living as unto the world, but it's living unto him. This radical faith is an instrument, is an entrustment of your life to Jesus Christ, that you have entrusted your life to Jesus Christ. It is total, it is complete surrender. It is your submission to the Holy Spirit in Titus 2. It is is supported by 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5, and Galatians 5, 22 to 23. In essence, God blesses you in every area because he loves you. Along with that, he has given you his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit in Galatians 5 empowers you to do all that he has called you to do. So what you need to understand is that he is there working this whole process out for you. And through this process, as we read in the scripture reading this morning, that it starts with, to get to your faith, you're going to learn perseverance, and you're going to learn all of these things that God requires of you in order for you to walk that pattern of faith. So what do we come down to saying? We come down to saying that if we're going to live a life of faith, we must submit our lives to God totally. And in submitting our lives to God totally, we submit every area of our lives to him. And in submitting every area of our lives to him and allowing him to lead, that we submit, we become surrendered to him, we become submissive to him, then what he does is he blesses us super abundantly. He blesses everything that we put our hands to. He blesses our children. He blesses our households. He blesses our job situation. He just blesses us because of our submission to him, understanding that it is him, it is God that blesses us because we do his will. Father, we just thank you for our time in your word. We pray, Lord, that it has sank deeply into our souls and into our hearts and into our minds, knowing, Lord, that you are looking for us to develop a pattern of faithfulness as Abraham had. We want that pattern of faithfulness that Job had towards you, even in times where his friends and even his family members were against what he was doing. Lord, we know that you require that we walk in this faith and that we live in this faith so that you can bless us supernaturally. That faith is that we understand our relationship with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that your spirit indwells us. And because your spirit indwells us, it gives us direction, it gives us guidance for our lives so that we can walk in your direction, we can walk in your guidance and be blessed because of our faith walk. And as we develop that pattern of living, Lord, you continue to shower us with your grace. You continue to shower us with your mercy. You continue to bless us in ways and in manners that we can never comprehend. So we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing as we walk with you, as we walk with you in faith as Abraham did. So we ask, Lord, that you would just move in our lives to change us, to become more acceptable, more pleasing to you as we walked with you in faith. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. Would you open your Bibles? Excuse me, no. Would you open your hymnals? The hymn number 347. 347.